This is Shalom Wise giving the Amud Yom Yishir. It's Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis and Brachas. We're starting the two lines, the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis or the top? Where are we up to? Sorry, you're right. Yeah. My mistake, yeah. Okay, so the bottom says it's Yud Aleph Amud Beis, my mistake. So the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis? Okay. Yeah. So Amar Rav Abba Rav Yochanan Halacha Ki Rav Yehuda. So anyway, so we're going to the Mishnah, which it says Elohim Bin Aprakim, right? So it says Rabbi says Rav Yochanan Halacha Zakir Yehuda Amar Bini Alekeichem Emes V'yatzev Lo Yafsek, right? So there's a discussion in the Mishnah of various places that are considered in between the prakim, in between the chapters, and at those junctures there are more responses that are permitted. The kind of interruptions that are permitted there's a wider amount of interruptions that are allowed. So he says you're actually not allowed to interrupt between emes and at the end of Shema and Viatzev. In my time with Rabbi Yehuda, so what's the reason for Yehuda? He says you can't interrupt. Like it says, V'Hashem Elokim Emes. So there's a pasuk. There's a pasuk elsewhere in Tanakh. It's in Yirmiyah. So it says V'Hashem Elokim Emes. So we are appending the first word of the bracha that follows Shema to Shema as though to hint at that pasuk or the idea of that pasuk, even though. Obviously, again, MS is not, it doesn't say Ani Shem Lekechem MS in the Torah, but we're adding that word in order to kind of allude to this other pasuk. Now the Gemara has a question. So the question is, do you say Ani Shem Lekechem MS V'yatziv, or you just say Ani Shem Lekechem MS V'yatziv, right? That's the question. Do you say MS twice or just once? So we have first Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that says you do repeat the word Amos. Rabba Amar Eino Chozer V'Amar Amos. He says no, you don't repeat the word Amos. That's the way we pass in Halacha. Ha'ud Nachas Kamei Rabash. So there's this person who davened in front of Rabba. He's davening, I guess, at Rabba Shul. So Shami Rabba the Amar MS Trezimni. So Rabba heard him say MS twice, and again we just saw that that's not like the way Rabba holds. So we're seeing he's going to have a bit of a reaction to this. It says, Amar Rabba kol emes tafsi lahai. So here we see Rabba having a sense of humor. He says, this guy is just he decided to say lots of emes. He's very, very into truth today. He's poking fun at the guy. He's saying emes, right? So Amar Rav Yosef, kama ma'alya hashmaitza. He says, how elevated is this teaching? The chiyasa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Amar. This following thing that when Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda came, he said, meaning I guess he's coming from Bavel, back from, he's making Yerida from Eretz Yisrael, right? So Amrihi, so they say B'marava in Eretz Yisrael, right? Arvis, they say in Tfilas Arvis, they say Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem ani Hashem Elokeichem emes. So they kind of say a small part of Vayomer. They don't in the Eretz Yisrael, the minig in those days was not to say the whole Vayomer during Shema from Ma'ariv. They would just say kind of a very small snippet of it. Davar b'nei Yisrael marta lehem ani Hashem Elokeichem emes. He says this is a beautiful saying. Okay, so Amar Le Abaye by Mal Yusa. So what's so great about this? You know, the Gemara was praising this idea. You know, what a beautiful thing. What's so great about it? So Vaham Rav Kahana Amarav Liaskal. So but we he's gonna show that actually this is not a good thing, this practice that they had in Eretz Yisrael. Because what did Rav say? A person should not begin or he need not begin Vayomer at night. Again, the idea being why is Vayomer different from the other parashiyos? Because the main point of Vayomer is mitzvah tzitzis, and there is no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. The Mechilkis has shown him whether it's the main thing is when you're wearing it or what kind of, whether you're wearing a day or night baguette. But in any case, the basic idea is there's no mitzvah tzitzis at night. So he says you don't have to start Vayomer Yom Hiskel, but if you do start Vayomer at night Gomer, then Rav says okay, you have to complete it. So how is this minute from Eretz Yisrael of just doing part of Vayomer? How does that make any sense? That doesn't seem to work. Maybe you'll say if you just say Vamar Talayim, so that's not really considered starting Vayomer. It's just for some reason if you say so little or just that part, that's not really considered starting it. That would cause you to have to finish it. But we have this other saying from Rav, Dabral ben Yisrael, lo avi haschala. If you just said Dabral ben Yisrael, so if that's all, you know, the extent of how far you went in Vayomer, lo avi haschala, that's not considered starting Vayomer. But if you already had Vamar Talayim, which is where they went up to in Eretz Yisrael, they already said Vamar Talayim, so you started it, and once you've gone that far in Vayomer, you have to do the whole Vayomer. Right? We have this idea earlier already in the Gemara, right? We're not supposed to cut up the parshios, and that's why they had this issue with, you know, they wanted to add Balak, but then it would be too big to add the whole thing, right? Okay, so Amar Papa, Kasavri Marava. So they hold in Eretz Yisrael, V'marta Lehem Nami Lavi Eskala. So they have a different opinion. So we do have this idea from Rav that as soon as you get to V'marta Lehem, you've already really started, but you have to do the whole thing. But in Eretz Yisrael, they hold differently. They say when you get out to V'marta Lehem, that's actually not really considered starting V'yomer. Adamar V'sulem, so you have to go a little bit further until you say that part. That's when you consider like you've started V'yomer. So that explains, at least in Eretz Yisrael, according to way hold, what it means to start V'yomer, how it was permissible for them to just to say this small snippet of V'yomer at nighttime. Amar Abaye, Hilkach, so Abaye says, based on this, Anan Askeli Maskelina, the Kamaskeli Marab. He says, basically, okay, so we want to follow Eretz Yisrael in the sense that we want to start V'yomer, because, you know, we had this, the Gemara was praising it. What a mila that they say V'yomer at night, you know? And Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to do the same thing about, we're also going to start Vayomer. But once we start, we have to finish, because we don't hold by what the Bnei Eretz Yisrael say, that that's not considered starting Vayomer. We hold like the Bavel Minhig, which is that once you've gone that far, you have to finish the whole thing, right? Da'amar Avkana Marav, lo yaskol, the person need not start Vayomer at night, but if he does start Vayomer, he has to finish it. Okay. Chiyah Barav Amar. So Chiyah Barav says, Amar Anei Hashem L'keichem Tzarech L'omer Emes. Right? If a person said Anei Hashem L'keichem, he needs to say Emes. Lo Amar Anei Hashem L'keichem Ein Tzarech L'omer Emes. But if he does not say that, he doesn't need to say Emes. So the problem is, V'ha Bari Liad Kure Yitzias Mitzrayim. So wait a second. How are you going to be saying Yitzias Mitzrayim? Right? Meaning, we're kind of connecting up Emes V'emunah to saying Anei Hashem L'keichem at the end of Vayomer. You know, you can say Vayomer, so then you follow it up with, you're going to say the whole parasha of Vayomer, you have to follow it up with Emes V'emunah, right? So the problem is, though, so you're leaving out Vayomer and you're leaving out Emes V'emunah, so where's Yitzias Mitzrayim going to get in? Because we had this idea already early in the Gemara that Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, they're talking about mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim is mitzvah also by night, not just by day. So how are you going to accomplish that? The Amar Hachi, because he says as follows. So we have this kind of abbreviated version of mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ma'ay demanachnu l'cha Hashem elekeinu Hashem Yitzisanu Meretz Mitzrayim. So we're thankful before you, Hashem, our God, who took us out of Egypt with the son of Yisavadim, redeemed us from the house of slavery, Vasisalan and Nisim, and made for us miracles, the Gvuros and strengths, Aliyam, on the Siva Shanulach, and we sing to you. Okay, so short and sweet, we get the idea, gives us Yisavadim Mitzrayim, and that way, you still have Yisavadim Mitzrayim, even though we're talking about somebody who dispensed with Vayomer and Emes V'emunah, but he managed to do without it.
So when would you do that? You just do it in between the end of Vayayim Shemoah?
Presumably. After Vahim Shemoah, before Shemoneh Esrei, he would say that, right? I guess. Rashi understands that actually from this point you're going to be continuing. Then you'll start saying the content of the song. You don't just say Vishanulach. The Gemara is just kind of giving you abbreviated forms. It's Micha Mocha Beilim, right? That whole nusach until Gaal Yisrael to lead. Yeah, because you still need to have Baruch Tasham Gaal Yisrael, right? You just don't need to specifically have the nusach of Emes V'emunah. You can have this sort of a truncated version, it seems, the Gemara is saying. Okay, Amr Shuv Makarcha, Lama Kidma Parsha Shema. So we had this discussion. What's the order? Why do we have this order? Why is it Shema Vahim Shema Vayomer? So the Gemara says, Hanya Amr Shuv Mechai Omer. Shuv Mechai says, Bidinu Shiyakdim Shema Vayom Shema. It makes sense that Shema should come before Yom Shema. Shizel Lilmod Vizel Lamed. Because Shema is about learning, and Vahim Shema is about teaching. You need to learn before you can teach. So Vahim Shema the Vayomer. Now, why does Vahim Shema have to come before Vayomer? The text is incorrect. It should be Lelamed, right? This one is to teach. Shizeh La'asos. And this one is to do, right? Again, so you have learning in Shema, teaching in Vahim Shema, and then doing in Vayomer. It's a very logical sequence. The Gemara doesn't like this, though. Shema Lilmod Isbe Lelamed. Velasis Lesbe, are you telling me that Shema only has learning and it doesn't have teaching and doing? It has teaching and doing as well, right? V'haksiv, but it says Vishinantam Ukshartam, right? It says Vishinantam, you shall thoroughly teach to your children, so that's obviously teaching. And Ukshartam Uksaptam, it says to tie the tefillin on your hand, to write the mezuzos. So we see all three things in Shema. Visu, and furthermore, Vayim Shema Lelamed Hu De'isbe, is it only teaching there has in it? The lasos lesbe, and it doesn't have doing. V'haksev uksharta muksabta, but it says Again, we have the same issue in Vayomer that there are these activities. It's tying tefillin on your arm and there's writing mezuzah. So those are activities. So what are you telling me that you only have teaching in Vayim Shema? So we have to interpret Rishon Meichah a little differently. B'dinu shetik dem Shema alayim Shema. Shema should come before Vayim Shema. Why? Shezel l'lamod l'lamed v'lasos. So Shema has all three elements. It has learning, teaching, and doing mitzvos. Vayim Shema l'vayomer. Vayim Shema comes before Vayomer. Why? Shezel yesh v'lalamed v'lasos. Because Vayim Shema has one less element than Shema. It has only teaching and doing. Vayomer ein ba'ala lasos b'vad. Vayomer should come last because it has the least among these elements that only has about doing. It has the doing the midst of tzitzis. Okay. V'tei b'lei midir b'shua ben karcha. So the question is, why is it that Rishon Meichai, why Rishon Meichai bother with his reasons? Why what's wrong with Rishon ben Karcha's reasons, right? Yeah, the ol malchus shemayim, the ol mitzvahs. Why isn't Rishon Meichai satisfied with that? So the answer is Chod v'od kamer. So he's not saying there's anything wrong with Rishon ben Karcha. He's saying, yeah, okay, this is good and that's good too. I'll give you another reason. Okay, so Chod v'kedeshi kabel love all malchus shemayim tchila. So one is like Rishon ben Karcha told us in the Mishnah, that the first thing you want to do before anything else is to accept, that we want to accept the yoke of God's kingship. And then also we want to take upon ourselves the yoke of the mitzvahs. And then besides that, Rishon Meichai has also these other good things for good reasons for having the order that we do. Now we have a story with where Rav's practices were observed. Rav Mashi, Yadei, Rav washed his hands of Kar Krishma, and he read Krishma of Anach Tefillin, and then he put on Tefillin, Vitzali, and then he davened in that order. Okay. So the Gemara has a problem with this. How could he? We're having a problem with the order that he did these things in. But we have a brisa that says as follows: Achofer kuch lames. So somebody who digs out, they had these catacombs, they had these like there was these caves, and people had like these various sort of shelves for the corpses. And then once the bodies rotted, they had this process of like gathering the bones, and then you'd have a whole mishpacha of just like bones together, right? And that it was very efficient. Okay, so anyway, so someone is digging out one of these shelves in the cave for his recently deceased relative. Right? Pater mikriyashma. So while he's doing that digging, he doesn't have to daven. He doesn't have to say kriyashma. Rather, minatulan. He's pater from all these mitzvahs. Kol mitzvah similar to term. Really, from all mitzvahs in the Torah, because of the general principle, osik be mitzvah pater minu mitzvah. Okay. He gives him on Kriya Shema. So what happens? It comes time for Kriya Shema. Ola v'notul yadav. He goes up and washes his hands of Niach Tefillin, and he puts on Tefillin Kar Kriya Shema, and he reads Kriya Shema with Spalani David. So before the order is
different.
Well, yeah, okay. That we're gonna get to that in a second. But first, we're too overwhelmed by the fact that there's an internal contradiction, and then we'll get to the issue with Rav.
What about the fact that he's in? Wouldn't it be enough that he's an oned as opposed to the fact that he has to...
He's not an oned. Oh, because he's saying... So that's a good question. So yes, you have to say it's not his relative, right? Because if he hasn't buried his relative yet... right, but until
it doesn't have to be Osir Mitzvah.
Right, exactly. Very good point. Right, if he hasn't, right, exactly. Before, if it's one of his close relatives and he hasn't buried the person yet, then they have the status of aninus. Right, that's a very good point. Okay, so the Gemara is first of all bothered by this issue of Haguf Akasha. Right, so you have an internal contradiction in the Brisa. Reisha Amar Pater. First, you tell me that he doesn't have to do Shema. We say Bechayv, and then you say, well, it's time for Kriya Shema. Now you got to get out of the grave. Halakasha, but really it's not a contradiction. Seifa betray v'reisha b'chad. The Seifa is talking about there's two people, so they can take turns. One will dig out the thing in the cave, and the other person will read, and whatever, they'll take turns, right? V'reisha b'chad, and one person, the other Reisha is talking about where there's just one guy, so he has to, you know, exclusively rock himself with digging out the grave. Okay, we're going to the Rav. Again, yes, like you were pointing out, now we want to come back to Rav, because it presents a different order. Because again, Rav washes hands, he read Kriya Shema, he put on tefillin, and then he davened. So basically the problem is he should be putting on tefillin and then saying Kriya Shema, right? And davening. So why did Rav do it the way he did? So Rav kirei b'shuv ben karcha sfirle. So the answer is, this is the first answer we want to say, is that Rav held like b'shuv ben karcha. The Amar Ol Malchus Shemayim Tchila, who says, the Ol Malchus Shemayim comes first, Right? So he wants to say Shema, or at least the first paragraph of Shema. I'm not sure if Rav was dividing it up, but the first paragraph of Shema, like we know from the Mishnah, is Ol Malchus Shemaim. So he wanted to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemaim before he started doing mitzvahs. So he took it like very literally. Doing that before Ol Malchus means literally before even doing any mitzvahs, I'm going to first have Ol Malchus Shemaim, then I'm going to start doing mitzvahs, right? So that's why he wanted to read Kriya Shema before putting on tefillin. The Gemara doesn't like that. Amar, Damar, Rabbi Shua Makarcha, Lahakdim, Kriya, the Kriya. That's only true when Rabbi Shua Makarcha is talking about when I want to read two passages, which one do I read first? I read first the Ol Malchus Shemaim for the Ol Mitzvahs. Kriya Liasiyam, Yisham Aslay, but do you ever hear him say such a thing that before doing an action, you're going to read a parsha which is about Ol Malchus Shemaim? Rabbi Shua Makarcha never says such an idea. So that's problem. That's a problem number one. Vesu, Marsavale Kri Bishua Makarcha. Does Rab really hold like Bishua Makarcha? Rav Chiya Barashi says, Zimnin Sagin Have a Kimna Kameh De Rav. There was another time I was standing in front of Rav. I was watching his behavior. Right, Umakdim Umashi Yadei. And this time he did as follows. He washed his hands. He got up early. He washed his hands. Mubarak, and then he said Brachis Umaslan Pirkin. So he gave us a shir. This is the early morning shir before Shacharis, right? Umanach tefillin, and then he put on tefillin. V'hadar kar kriya shema, and then he said the kriya shema. And probably he davened. There's probably something missing in the Gemara. Anyways, v'chitema. Okay, so here we have. Anyways, they're saying, don't tell me that he holds a kibushim and karcha. This is the point. We're saying that does he really hold a kibushim and karcha? Is that here we see that even if we want to assume that kibushim and karcha really does apply his reasoning, not just to having one reading before a different reading, but also having a reading before doing. Even if he holds of that, we see that in a different story, Rav didn't follow that principle. Right, is that we see in a different story, Rav actually sort of did it in the more expected order. Is that he put on tefillin before reading Kriya Shema? So what's how are we going to deal with this? Essentially, at the end of the day, we have you know very simply a contradiction in stories about what Rav's practice was. V'chi tema midlo mati zman Kriya Shema. So now, if the case is that it just wasn't time for Kriya Shema, meaning he was putting on tefillin so early in the morning that it was too early to say Kriya Shema, and that's why he said Kriya Shema later in the second story. If that's really the reason, he became Ma'asadase the Rav Chiya Barashi. So then what's the point of Rav Chiya Barashi's testimony, right? The point is that if the case was that it just happened to be so early in the morning that he couldn't say Kriya Shema, so it's obvious that he didn't say, you put on tefillin and then put on Kriya Shema. Right? What's he saying? Right? Here's the new idea that we get from the story. Really, the chiddush, the newness of the second story is not even about when he put on tefillin or when he put on Kriya Shema. The newness is about the fact that he said Birchas HaTorah, which is right in the beginning of the story, right? He got up early, he washed his hands, and he said Birchas HaTorah, and then he gave the early morning shir, right? And the real thing that we're trying to teach us is that he said brachas, because it happened to be this early morning shir was a Mishnah Yoimi or whatever. There's a machlokas actually whether he even say Birchas HaTorah on Mishnah, which seems like a very interesting idea. But there's actually a machlokas in the Gemara. Do you say Birchas HaTorah when you're learning Mishnah? We pass that you do, but anyways. Sorry?
Why wouldn't you?
I forget the reasons discussed there, but yeah, it is.
Hey, it's we saw it.
Yeah.
A couple pages in.
Yeah.
Just it was like a one mandam.
Right. I mean, maybe because the Mishnah is like halachas without like the reasoning, and you can say the reasoning is like that's the real learning, not as opposed to like just like the terse halachos. Yeah, okay. So, it's obviously an idea we're not used to because we don't hold like it. So anyways, this story about Rav was coming to exclude that idea, that Rav held that you have to say Birchas HaTorah even for Mishnah. Kamashmal and Dafa Mishnah, Tzalim, Salach, and Varach. It comes to tell me, even for Mishnah, you have to say Birchas HaTorah.
Why does that necessarily mean that the rest of the story isn't going to be accurate?
We're not saying it's inaccurate. We're just saying that it's not telling us anything new. Our problem at this point with the second story is that it's just not telling me anything that's interesting. Because the case we said is that he was putting on tefillin, but it was too early in the morning to say Kriya Shema, and that's why he put on tefillin first before Kriya Shema.
Right, yeah.
So the only new thing is the fact that he's saying it's say Birchas HaTorah.
Right?
But we still have a problem on the first story of Rav. So never mind. Okay, so let's set aside the second story of Rav. We have the problem with the first story of Rav that it's a clear contradiction with his Brisa. So that, however you answer the second story, it doesn't really help us with the first story, how you resolve that contradiction with the Braisa about the digging the graves. So the answer is shlucha hu da'avis. Right. So the real issue was that it was somebody was supposed to bring him his tefillin, and just they didn't bring him his tefillin. Right. So meaning he would have loved to put on his tefillin before he said Kriya Shema, but the guy who was supposed to bring him his tefillin was running late. Right. So sometimes it's not necessarily and anyways, this amount of Kriya Shema is passing. Obviously, you would say Kriya Shema even without your tefillin. So sometimes it's just like. I don't know, apparently there's a story that Ramosha Feinstein, he was cutting his nails like after going to the mikvah, and people wanted to say, oh, is there a halacha from that? No, it's like, no, because my nails are soft then, so, you know, because they went into the water, right? Anyways, so we could see another memory here from Ula Amar Ula. He says, Kol akari Kriya Shema, yeah, so whoever reads Kriya Shema below tefillin, who without tefillin, Kilu made Edis Jacob Atzman, so though he says false testimony against himself, because he's saying, oh yeah, mitzvah, I have to tefillin and everything. Oh, I'm not wearing tefillin. Yeah, so that's a bit of an issue. And Rashi, interestingly, he says lishna ma'alia, which to me at least implies that this is it's not actually himself as in himself as a person, but atzmo can also be a way of talking about God, right? Is that he's make that's the way I understand Rashi, because that's the way sometimes Atmos uses himself is with a capital H as God, is that he's making Eidus Sheker against God by saying Krishna without tefillin. Okay, but
I apply it without tzitzis.
Without tzitzis, the difference is though at least on a, even though I mean the accepted practice is of course to wear tzitzis, but at least on a deraisa level, it's not a mitzvah that right. I have to wear tzitzis a mitzvah. If I have a four corner garment on, it right. has to have tzitzis on it. Right. So it could be that creates a distinction, but I'm not sure. Okay, so Ula continues talking about this. Amar Bechir Bar Abba, Amar Yechonin. Ki'ilu, he gives another sort of analogy for this business of saying Krishna without tefillin. Ki'ilu hikrav ola b'la mencha. It's like he brings an ola without its mencha. Zavach b'la nesachim, and zavach without nesachim. You could have really said ola without mencha and nesachim, because mencha could really have both. We wanted to use a language of a pasuk. And really, so you're bringing the Iker thing, you're doing the Iker Kriya Shema, but it's just like the sort of accompanying things that usually go with it are not there, which is not good. And that's the same, that's the nature of saying Kriya Shema without tefillin. All right. Okay.